Blog Talk Radio.
talking about the ghetto.
All right, all right, all right. And certainly, we are talking about the ghetto, because most often we're living in one. You're listening to the Real Talk for Real People from our perspectives, the ghettos, university speaking. And this is Real Talk for Real People. My name is Yamsuf Arif, and we have been delving into our studies. Unfortunately, some of us don't see the need for study. We just feel the need to go out, show up, show off, and showboat, and simply solve the problem. As if nothing has ever changed. As if we've woken up just like Rip Van Winkle. We've gotten older, but we hadn't got any smarter. True be told. In some of our cases, unfortunately, it's true. I see a lot of our brothers and sisters on Foolsbook making up. How can I be polite about it? Making a fool of themselves, speaking from their own understanding, leaning to their own understanding, and solving no problems to boot. You will see as we go into our studies, as we delve into our studies, Daniel was not that sort of man. Even he relied upon his ancient, his contemporaries that were connected to the Most High. You will see in these studies we're about to study, Daniel relied upon Jeremiah, the prophet. He didn't just go out and lean to his own understanding. No. He was humble, as we are on the Real Talk for Real People show, that we are not inclined to lean to our own understanding because we know our thinkers are broken. And our thinkers don't solve problems, they create more problems. So in the case of Daniel, Daniel is leaning on the understanding of the prophet Jeremiah. And he goes on and says so in the beginning of this story. A story we can ascertain a whole lot of pertinent information as to how we must comport ourselves with the Most High. How we can receive something from the Most High. And he goes on to tell the who, what, when, where, and a how in this story that we're about to delve in. Get your books out. Get your maps. Turn to chapter 9, sector. And we'll begin with the reading. And you will see. The first year of King Darius, son of Hazareus, of Median descent. He wasn't a Babylonian. Who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, in the first year of his reign. And Daniel goes on to say, I, Daniel, consulted what? His own understanding? No, it didn't say that. He said, I consulted the books concerning the numbers of years that according to the word of the Elohim that had come to Jeremiah, the prophet, were to be the terms of Jerusalem desolation, 72 years. I humble myself. It didn't say that, but you have to humble yourself to trust in the Most High. You're not going to worry about the coronavirus, or anything else for that matter, because you're humble and you know who to trust in. He said, I turn my face to the Elohim, our God, devoting what? To get something from the Most High. Devoting myself to prayer and supplication and fasting. And in sackcloths and ashes, I prayed to the Lord, my Elohim, making confessions. I humble myself. I made confession. I tore myself down. I did a thorough analysis and assessment of myself. And I made a confession, my shortcomings. O Elohim, great and awesome God, who stays faithful to his covenant with those who love him. There's an action predicated upon staying faithful to his covenant for those, why? Who love him. and keep his commandments. There's actions predicated upon receiving something from our Elohim. And that is humility, because it takes humbleness to admit one's fault. And he goes on to say, we have sinned. We have gone astray. We have acted wickedly. We have been rebellious and have deviated from your commandments, your rules, and have not obeyed your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our officers, our fathers, and all the people of the land, everybody. With you, O Elohim, is the right. The shame is on us to this very day, on the men of Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, all Israel, near and far, and all the lands where they have where you have banished them for the trespasses they committed against you. The shame, O Elohim, is on us, on our kings, our officers, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Elohim our God belongs mercy. This coming from you. To the Elohim our God belongs mercy and forgiveness. It comes from you. For we have been rebelled against him and did not obey the Elohim our God by following his teaching that he set before us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has violated. Not some of them, not part of them, not half of them. All Israel. So if you're out there listening, Yehuda and Israel, all of us, don't think you're anything special because you aren't. You need to learn to humble yourself and turn to the Most High in prayer and supplication and humility. You must do a thorough investigation of your own action in the actions of your parents and your brothers and sisters, your contemporary, whom think themselves to be something special when they aren't. Truth be told. And Daniel realized this. And I hope you realize this in order to receive anything from the Most High, protection and covering and whatnot from the coronavirus or any other problem that may be assailing you. Maybe a tornado just like hit Nashville, Tennessee. Sister Abigail called me. She was concerned about me, and I'm very thankful. But I trusted the Most High. I didn't even know it was one. Sister Abigail called me and said, Brother Yom Suf, you all right? I said, I stay all right. I'm humble. You know, I didn't put it like that, but that's the way I felt about it, because I ain't nothing special. I'm not nothing special. I can't solve no problem for nobody. I can't forgive nobody or nothing that they did to the Most High. I can't bring you close to him. The only thing I can do is point you in the right direction. What I'm doing on the Real Talk for Real People show. And it's up to you to be incumbent upon yourself to act out the part that you must act out. That's part of our problem. See, we want to act out, but we don't want to act out the part that we are prescribed to act out. That's why we always find ourselves up in a deep creek without a paddle, so to speak. Oh, it's true. To the Lord our Elohim belongs mercy and forgiveness. We rebelled against him. We did not obey the Lord our Elohim by following his teaching that he set before us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has violated your teaching. They're going astray, disobeying you. So the curse and the oath written in the teaching of Moses, the servant of God, our Elohim, have been poured down on us, these curses, for we have sinned against him. He carried out the threat that he made against us, against our rulers who ruled us, to bring upon us the great misfortune under the whole earth that has never been done, the lack of what was done to Jerusalem. All that calamity, just as it is written in the teaching of Moses, came upon us. Yet we did not supplicate the Elohim our God and did not repent of our iniquity because of wise of our iniquity or become wise. Why? Through your truth. That's the only way we're going to become wise. We're not going to become wise, this entire contemporaries. We're not going to become wise leaning on our own understanding. We become wise as Daniel. That's doing consulting the books. When's the last time you consulted the books? Therein lies your antidote and our solutions. Not listen to your contemporaries with this whole lot of nonsense, which is showing up to show off and showboat, and solving no problems to boot, truth be told. Hence, the Elohim was intent upon bringing calamity upon us, for the Elohim, our God, is in the right in all that he has done to us. But we have not obeyed him. Now, our Elohim, our God, you who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, winning fame for yourself, not for you, brother, not for you, sister, in this very abundant, in this very day, we have sinned it. We have acted wickedly. O Elohim, as benefits your abundant benevolence, let your wrathful fury turn back from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sin, not yours, and the iniquities that we are guilty of, and still is, of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a mockery among all who are around us. Yeah, they call us black, African-American, Negro, nigger, whatever you are. And you don't even know who you are. If that ain't a mockery, I don't know what is. And then here we go, leaning to our own understanding, not consulting the books. Man, we are a sight for sore eyes, not we. As I said, we just like Rip Van Winkle went into a deep, deep sleep and come back doing the same thing, and ain't nothing changed for some of us. Not consulting the books. Therein lies your solution and antidotes to whatever ails you. I'm blessed. I'm grateful. I'm humble. I don't know nothing. All I know is what the Most High want me to know. Yes, I have wisdom and understanding that the Most High has comported upon me, because I lean not to my own understanding. And thus I am blessed as a result. But that blessing is, it's kind of short in this sense. It's like, you know what you need to be doing, and you try to do everything that you know you need to be doing according to the Most High, our Elohim, and you do that. And as a result of your humility, your love and devotion for our Elohim, you are blessed in so many ways. But it's sort of, I told Maury Cartrio this. It's still like you're still short, because your people are short. And you would like very well for your people to have the same blessing and that the Most High comports upon you. But as we always say on the Real Talk for Real People show, you know, we can lead the horse to the water, but we can't make it drink. We can't impress upon people the importance of consulting the books. Not their contemporaries, not their own understanding, because that is another Rip Van Winkle you're talking to, truth be told. Continue. O I L O M, hear now the prayer of your servant and his plea. Because Daniel had it good. He was living in the palace, the big house. It was like, I got it good. But it don't mean nothing if all of us ain't got the good, if all of us, because we in all this together, truth be told. The Elohim, O I Elohim, hear the prayer of your servant and his plea. Show your favor to your desolate sanctuary for the Elohim's sake. Incline your ear, O my Elohim. Hear, Open your eyes and see our desolation in the city to which your name is attached. Not because of any merit of ours do we lay our plea before you, because we did nothing to get anything from you. But because of your abundant mercies, O Elohim, hear. O Elohim, forgive. O Elohim, listen and act without delay for your own sake, O my Elohim. Your name is attached to your city and your people. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins and the sin of my people Israel, laying my supplication before the Lord my Elohim in behalf of the holy mountain of my Elohim, which I was uttering while I was uttering my prayer, the man Gabriel, the angel, whom I previously seen in the vision, was sent forth in flight and reached me about the time of the evening offering. He made me understand by speaking to me and saying, it has to come from the Most High to get some understanding. Daniel, I just came forth so to give you understanding. See, that's how you get your understanding. Your contemporaries can't give it to you. It takes much praying, much fasting, much supplication, and consulting the books in humility, which Daniel had an abundance of. And I pray that you have the same abundance. He made me to understand. He made me understand by speaking to me and saying, Daniel, I've just come forth to give you understanding. A word went forth as to you, began your plea. I've come to tell it, for you are precious. So mark the word and understand the vision. Write it down and understand the vision. And Gabriel goes on to explain, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people in your holy city until the measure of transgression is filled, and that sin is complete. Until iniquity is expiated, and internal righteousness ushered in. And it goes on to say, a prophetic vision ratified. Has this prophetic vision been ratified? And the Holy of Holy anointed. You must know and understand. For the issuance of the word to restore, for the issuance of the word to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the time of the anointed leader is 7 weeks. And for 62 weeks, it will be rebuilt square and moat. But in a time of distress. And after those 62 weeks, the anointed one would disappear and vanish. The army of a leader who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. But its end will come through a flood. Desolation is decreed until the end of the war. During 1 week, he will make a firm covenant with many. For half a week, he will put a stop to the sacrifice and the meal offering. At the corner of the altar will be an appalling abomination until the decreed destruction will be poured down upon the appalling thing. A lot of things are appalling to the Most High and when entering the sanctuary. If you're not a priest and you're not anointed, you cannot enter. You cannot sacrifices that are not honored by it, like pigs or whatnot. That's an abomination. Foreigners cannot enter this area. That's an abomination. I don't know what that abomination was. But I believe this to be the case. I don't know what all that means, but I believe this to be the case. A day is like 1,000 years to the Most High. And 1,000 years is like a day. Now, the Most High could speak in prophetic terms and say 62 weeks or whatnot. And it could mean years. And that's why I said, until this prophetic vision is ratified. And the question is, has the prophetic vision been ratified? So, I'm not as smart as Daniel. Maybe perhaps Brother Maury Cotter, I can give us some more perspectives on this. You know, he's a student of the Most High. He consults the books as I do. And after this lovely song, when we bring him on, he consults the books like I do. And I suspect that's why you're listening. You consult the books too because you love the Most High and you are dedicated and you're humble. That's a good thing. You're listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. My name is Brother Yamsuf Arif. Without further ado, let me play this lovely song and bring my friend and brother on from New York City, Brother Maury Cotterill. Enjoy. Thank you. Merciful and kind and loving. Only thing you have to do is consult the books, lean not to your own understanding, and not be another Rip Van Winkle just waking up and thinking you got all the sense in the world. When truth be told, you don't have any. You're listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. Without further ado, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Brother Maury Cotterill. He's certainly a friend of mine because any man, a friend of the Most High, is a friend of mine. Truth be told. Brother Maury Cotterill, may the Most High bless you, my brother. Your mic is high.
All praise to the Most High Yah, the Holy One of Israel. Shalom, Brother Yamsuf Ari.
Thank you very much. Hey, brother, you know when that guy was here yesterday and he was doing the measurements in the bathroom, he had to put a window up. And I didn't know that he had scratched my dining room table. I was so upset today, Maury Katcher. It made me scratch my dining room. And I finally called just for the show. I said, look here, let me tell you something. You, that fella that y'all sent over here to take the measurement, he scratched my table. I bought that. I said, now, I know he didn't do it on purpose, and I'd like to believe he didn't. But then again, he should have told me. I said, he didn't buy that. I bought that. If he made a mistake, he should have told me. I said, now, the folks you sitting over here to put that window in, I hope they don't make no mistakes, okay? Well, we're going to check. I said, you do that because he didn't pay for this. I paid for that. I don't pay by these folks. I'm not going to be no – I'm going to be a mockery, like the Most High said. But even being a mockery, I got some rights. Go ahead, brother.
You funny, man, because the things you're worried about, it ain't nothing what Daniel was worried about. Daniel
had to
listen. He's second in command to the king.
Huh? You see how my finger broke, don't you? That's why you can't trust me. You better trust what I be reading about the Most High. You can't trust nothing what I said.
Hey, you know, Daniel's problem's greater than yours, man.
Truth be told, brother.
But this prayer is beautiful because he's not praying for himself. Praying for the nation.
Right. And
he got positioned under the Medes and the Persian kingdom, under Darius. And I don't know if you recognize this name in the first verse that you read, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. You remember who Ahasuerus was?
Okay, who was he?
Well, we read the story of Esther, right?
Right. Oh, that's right. Esther's husband.
That's Esther's husband, man.
Right. Esther's husband, right. Ahasuerus. Oh. So, hold on. If that was Esther's husband, you mean you tell me that's Esther's boy right there?
It might be, man. We don't know. Yeah. Darius might be Esther's son.
Right.
He's the son of Ahasuerus. Go back to the book of Esther. Real quick. The book of Esther, first chapter. Because you read that, right? We read that.
Right.
But you can't forget the stuff because you got to tie the history in, man.
Yeah, I read it many a times. But, you know, you read so much, bro. You get so involved in this and the studies. And you just got to just keep reading and reading and reading it.
So we connected the dots, huh? Because we ain't never been taught this stuff. And ain't nobody ever showed us. So that's what we're trying to do, connect the dots.
Right.
So King Ahasuerus is the father of Darius.
Okay.
When you turn to the book of Esther, it says, the first verse, now in the days of Ahasuerus, also called Artaxerxes, who reigned from India to Ethiopia over 120 provinces. In those days, the palaces where King Ahasuerus sat on a royal throne of his kingdom was in Susa. So we got to know all this stuff. Who is Susa, right?
Right.
Who is Ahasuerus? And who is Darius? And then it says in the ninth chapter of the book of Daniel, it says in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king of the realm of the Chaldeans. So, Yamsu, who are the Chaldeans?
Babylonians.
You say they Babylonians?
The Chaldeans were with the Babylonians.
Do you know Abraham was a Chaldean?
Oh, was he now?
What city he came from?
Ur.
Of where?
Chaldea.
Okay, so what that make him?
Chaldean.
Okay. We don't know the connections. But he had to break from his people.
That's why
told Abraham to leave your father's house.
That's why you have to consult the books.
Yes. So we got to connect the dots. We're trying to connect the dots, huh? That's why we went to the book of Daniel. Because we read Esther. And we know Ahasuerus Ahasuerus did. He was favorable to Israel, right?
Exactly.
Because he showed mercy on Esther and Mordecai.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And Darius the son now, we're dealing with Darius. And Daniel was under his captivity, which means that Esther and Mordecai was under the previous captivity.
Exactly.
Okay. As long as you put the dots together.
Gotcha.
It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed the books of the number of years, which was specified by the word of Yah to Jeremiah, the prophet, for the accomplishment of the desolation of Jerusalem. So what was Daniel doing while he was in captivity?
He was doing his job, what they gave him, and consulting the Most High in prayer and supplication, and doing the best he can with what he had.
He was studying the prophets like we're doing right now that
exactly.
came before him. Jeremiah. And it wasn't just Jeremiah. It was Moses and anybody else that came before him. He studied King David. That's why he was so prominent. He knew the wisdom of King Solomon. He's studying these books like we should be doing, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, Daniel wasn't like a prophet like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea. This is a man who's seeking Yah's help, like Joseph, and the Most High came to him and made him really a prophet. He wasn't looking for prophetic abilities, but every time he had crisis, the Most High saw that he loved the Most High and that he always turned to the Most High for answers in dire situations, which is why Yah revealed more and more to the prophet Daniel. Not like Isaiah, not like Jeremiah, but in different ways through dreams and visions. He showed him that he had the ability to interpret dreams, not only interpret dreams, but to see another man's dream and interpret the dream that the man had. So we like Daniel. We don't come from the priestly tribe, but we can pray to Yah, make that connection where Yah will show us answers like he showed Daniel. But you got to be sincere in your heart. And this prayer, he's showing you the prayer. The next chapter shows the process of how he went through that prayer. And in this prayer, he's seeing visions. All right? So while he's praying to Yah, he's seeing visions. He says, Daniel observed the book of the number of the years, which is specified by the word of Yah to Yeremiahu, the prophet, for the accomplishment of the desolation of Jerusalem. So Daniel knows Jerusalem has been desolated, and he's trying to connect the prophecy, like when is Jerusalem going to be restored? And he's thinking about the 70 years. But is 70 years to us the same 70 years to Yah? I don't think so. It says that is 70 years. I set my face towards Yah, Elohim, to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting with sackcloth and ashes. Now, wasn't Daniel second in command to the Medes and the Persians? So he like vice president.
Yep.
And even as vice president, with all the privileges that carry being vice president of a nation, Daniel, he's not looking at that. He's praying to the Most High God. He's supplicating. He's fasting. He's not wearing the purple garment that the Medes and the Persians gave him for interpreting the handwriting on the wall. He's not wearing the purple and the gold that Babylon gave him. He's wearing sackcloth and ashes, not for himself, but for our nation. So we, here in this captivity, we don't think like Daniel. We only think about ourselves.
True.
Me, my family, not my people, but me and my family. What you doing for me, Yah? But Daniel, he got all the position in the world. He got comfort. He got royalty. He got power and command while he's in captivity, yet he's fasting. He's wearing sackcloth and ashes, not for himself, but for the overall destruction of our people. How many of us are in that mindset?
True be told, brother. True be told.
And this is what he said. And I prayed to Yah, my Elohim, and made my confession. So you think that Daniel's getting ready to go into the personal confession about himself? which we all should do, because y'all knows our iniquities on a personal scale. But look how the prophet Daniel frames his prayer. He says, "Alas, O Yah, the great and dreadful Elohim, keeping his covenant to mercy to those who love him." What we got to do to Yah? We got to love Yah, right?
Truth be told.
We got to love Yah. Those who love Yah. You can't just know Yah and study Yah and know his word. No. Love? How do you define love? I love Yah. Why? Because he created me. I love Yah. Why? Because he guides me. I love Yah. Why? Because he protects me. I love Yah. Why? Because he answers me when I'm in trouble. So I don't know about you, but I love Yah, just like Daniel's talking about right here, showing mercy to those who love him. And most of our people don't even know Yah, much less love Yah. Me? I know. I know Yah and I love Yah. And I'm hoping you to bring you up to speed, because that's what we need to do. We need to love our Creator, not man, what man is doing, because Yah gave man the ability to do what he's doing. We need to love, respect, honor, and obey who? Our Creator. And that's Yah Elohim. And it says to those who keep his commandments. Yeah, he created you, and he's given you the manual on how to live life. So, yes, you have to obey your Creator's commands. It's just like obeying your mother and father. You might not want to do that because you're a rebellious spirit, but your mother and father are looking out for you to bring out the best in you. So when Yah gives us his commands, it's for the best in us, and it benefits him because it shows that he is appreciated in his creation. Do we appreciate Yah for creating us? I don't know. I do. I love Yah. We have sinned. Yes. Daniel's not talking about himself. Who is he talking about? Our nation, Yisrael. And the first thing that he starts out with is, we have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly and have rebelled. Who has done that? Not me. And you could have said, I haven't rebelled. I've listened to you. I've pursued you. I've sought you. I try to follow your way. Don't judge me. No. Daniel is putting himself alongside of his people. When he says, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from your precept and your judgment. Why? Because it affects all of us. I could be following Yah's law, statutes, and commandments, but if our leaders, our priests, our prophets are not doing it, what good is it for me? I'm not a nation unto myself. It's all of us, one for all and all for one. And if my brothers and sisters are doing right or wrong, then we all in this together. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets. So Daniel know who the prophets were that came before his time. And the fact that he knows the prophets that came before his time, and he acknowledges that we haven't listened to them, that's a message to the people that live today that only listen to the first five books of Moses, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. No, Yah sent other prophets that we have to listen to, not just Moses and the first five books. You have to go into Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Malachi, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Habakkuk, all these prophets. We got to look what Yah said to them. Joel, he said, we have not listened to your servants, the prophet, who spoke in your name. How many people of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, and Mary, has spoken in the name of the God of Israel? That's who the prophets are. It says, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to the king. We know that Jeremiah had a hard time with that, but the Most High told him, don't be afraid of them. And he wound up speaking to the kings of Israel who didn't listen to him. Our officials didn't listen to him. They came up with their own prophecies, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. So who listened to Jeremiah? Nobody. And everything he was saying came to pass, that the Most High told him to tell our people. So just like Jeremiah, just like Daniel, we have to study the prophets because Yah gave us his words through them. It says, Oh Yah, righteousness belongs to you, but unto us confusion the shame of faith, as it is this day. And we should be ashamed of ourselves, following the other nations, following their practices, following their pagan worship, and not knowing our history, our roots, and our culture, and what our purpose is. To the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel. So this message is to all of us who are near and who are far off. It doesn't matter where you are. To all the countries wherever you have been driven. And we here in America, we got people in Brazil, we got people in China, we got people in Iran, Iraq, we got people in Ethiopia. It doesn't matter. Yah speaking to all of us. To all the countries wherever you have been driven. West coast of Africa, South Africa, we've been driven to the four corners of the earth. Because of their trespasses, we have trespassed, that they have been trespassing against you. Oh, Yah, to us belongs shame of face. Yes, we have to acknowledge that. We shouldn't be pride and arrogant or full of the feeling of superiority, because we should be ashamed of ourselves being under the captivity of our enemies. It says because of their trespass that they have trespassed against you. We all trespass against Yah. Well, you could say, well, I ain't do it. No, the whole nation. As long as your people are trespassing against Yah, you trespassing too. Oh, Yah, to us, we as a nation, Yisrael, belong shame of face. To our king, to our officials, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. And how are you going to take yourself out of that? Well, I ain't do it. Well, your king did it. And your officials did it. And your fathers did it. So how are you going to take yourself out of it if you're in the family? No, we responsible, which is why this prayer is so powerful, because Daniel is not focused on himself. He's focused on the whole entity of the nation of Israel, which we all should be. Because salvation doesn't come on an individual basis. Yah is going to save us as a nation. Oh, Yah, unto us belongs shame of face, our kings, our officials, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To Yah Elohim belongs mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. And that's our saving grace. With all that we've done against Yah and continue to do, Yah is merciful and he's willing to forgive. Are we willing to walk through that door, through Yah's mercy and his forgiveness? And it's not just walking through that door. You have to change your ways. You have to change your thoughts. You have to circumcise your heart. Because you can't just walk through that door with your arrogance and doing what our fathers and our kings and our officials did, because Yah's not going to let you walk through that door. You have to be sincere in order to receive Yah's mercy and forgiveness. So we have rebelled. Are you continuing to rebel against Yah and following the ways of men? You have to check yourself. Because you can't walk through that door of mercy and forgiveness if you're still rebelling against Yah. We have not obeyed the voice of Yah Elohim. Many of our people don't even know what Yah is talking about. We listening to preachers and ministers and Kohanes and Morays, and what is Yah saying? And in this Block Talk Radio, Real Talk for Real People show, we're trying to tell you what Yah is saying so that we can obey the voice of Yah Elohim. Not only to obey him, but to walk in his ways and his law, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. So these words are plural. Yah has more than one servant, and Yah has more than one prophet. And indeed, all Israel has transgressed. How many of us have transgressed? Your law.
Oh.
How many of us have transgressed? All of us.
Oh.
Even by departing that they might not obey your voice. So we have to confess that we as a nation have failed in our obligation to obey what the Most High, our Creator, has instructed us to do. He said, therefore, the curse has been poured upon us. What truth lies in those words right there? Is the curse upon us?
To be told, bingo.
Our enemies ruling over us with no mercy. They have no favor for the old and show no favor to the young. Yes,
bingo.
The curse is upon us. We work and our enemies prosper, and we get no benefit out of it. All you got to do is read Deuteronomy 28, and you know that the curse has been poured upon us. And the oath that is written in the law of Moshe, the servant of Elohim, because we have sinned against him. So Prophet Daniel knew that that curse took full effect. Even before we went into slavery by ship, he knew that we violated the covenant and that the curse was unleashed. And what curse am I talking about? All you got to do is read Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 doesn't fit any other people but our people on the face of the earth. And you really got to examine that, that whole chapter of the prophet Moshe. So Daniel knows that the words that the prophet Moshe spoke have taken effect and we under the curse. So he's pleading for Yah's mercy. He said he has confirmed his word, which he had spoken against us and against our judges who judged us by bringing on us this great calamity. And a great calamity is still upon us. We still are at the bottom. We still the tail and not the head. We still are walking in darkness. As Yamsu say, we walk in dead Negroes. We're still cut off from our land. And most of all, we're cut off from our Creator. And this is our calamity. For under the whole heaven, there has not been done such as has been done to Jerusalem. And we know that Jerusalem, even to this day, is a topic of hot debate. As it is written in the law of Moshe, great calamity has come upon us. We have to acknowledge that. Yet we have not sought the favor of Yah Elohim, so that we might turn from our iniquities and give attention to your truth. And that's so impactful. I'm going to say it again. We have not sought the favor of Yah Elohim. Why? Because we in church. We in a mosque. We in a democratic, Republican process. And we ain't even thinking about seeking the favor of Yah Elohim. So that he might turn from our iniquities and give attention to your truth, so that we might turn. So if we turn to Yah, it helps us turn from our iniquities and causes us to pay attention to his truth, not the truth of man, not the ideologies and the doctrines and the philosophies of man, but our attention should be given to Yah's truth. And he left it on record. That's why we're reading it. He says, therefore, Yah has kept the disaster in store and brought it upon us. We have to acknowledge that. For Yah Elohim is righteous in all his works, which he does, but we have not obeyed his voice. So Yah loves us, but if we do wickedly, he's going to punish us, and that's what he's done. And as for us, up until this day, to this very moment that I'm speaking on this microphone, we have not obeyed our Creator's voice. And when we're going to do that? The Most High said, I present before you life and death. Choose life and live. And if you don't obey Yah's voice, you're going to die. It says, now, O Yah Elohim, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with the mighty hand and made yourself a name, even as it is this day, we have sinned. You got to acknowledge that. Haven't we? We have done wickedly. You have to acknowledge that. We can't stand up there and go before the throne of judgment and talk about, you know, I live a righteous life. You know, I observed everything that you did. No, we as a nation have sinned. We as a nation, not individually, have done wickedly. All you have to do is visit any one of the neighborhoods in this captivity that we live in. And we're still sinning and doing wickedly because we're not obeying the voice of Yah. Oh, yeah. According to all your righteousness, I beseech you, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem, and your people have become a reproach to all who are round about us. And that's a fact. Anywhere we are, nobody wants to live where we live. We got police in our neighborhoods trying to throw us in jail, and we are a reproach to other nations, and that's how they look at us. And that's just a fact. But we have to know the cause and the root of why we're in this position. It says, now, therefore, O Yah, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplication. This is coming from the heart of Daniel. And for your sake, O Yah, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. So that's important because Daniel, we know that he's in captivity under Darius the Mede, and he's not trying to set up a sanctuary under Darius the Mede. He's asking Yah to restore the sanctuary, which is desolate. We want to set up sanctuary here in our captivity and think that it's all good and all gravy. You know, we ain't worried about the temple in Jerusalem, which is desolate. Prophet Daniel recognizes that the holy place, the sanctuary, the place where Yah chooses to call his name, the place where we bring up our sacrifice and offerings, is desolate. Oh, my Elohim, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and look at our desolation and the city which is called by your name, for we do not present our supplication before you because of our righteousness, but for your great mercies. O Yah, hear. O Yah, forgive. O Yah, listen and act. Do not defer. For your own name's sake, O my Elohim, for your city and your people are called by your name. And this is how Yah's name is blasphemed every day, because we are called by his name and our enemies have power and rule over us. That's how Yah's name is blasphemed every day. And they control his city, the holy city, the city of Jerusalem. So we ask Yah to remember us and to have mercy, for Yah is our righteousness. And we don't present our prayers or our supplications before Yah because we're so righteous or holy before Yah. No. But because Yah is merciful, and we acknowledge our sins and the sins of our fathers, and we ask Yah to reestablish his plan that he had intention for us as a people and for us as a nation. So it says, while I was speaking in the 20th verse and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Yisrael. So you just can't confess your sin for yourself. You have to confess the sins of your people, Yisrael. Yeah, we out there selling drugs. We out there gang banging. We out there prostituting. We out there voting for people that have not our interest at heart. We eating pork. We in church worshiping idols. Yes, we have to acknowledge that we as a people have not gotten it together yet. So when we pray, it's not just for ourselves. It's for the sin of our people too. So when you read the prayer that Daniel is reciting before Yah, appealing before Yah, you can tell and see that he's not just praying for himself, but he has to confess his own sin and the sins of his people, Yisrael. Not just the people, Yisrael, but the sins of our fathers, which caused us to be in a situation in the first place. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins and the sins of my people, Yisrael, and presenting my supplication before Yah, my Elohim, for the holy mountain of my Elohim, indeed, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. So this is very important because as we go into the next chapter, we're going to see how this all unfolded. He's explaining the vision, and then in the next chapter, he's going to show how this all unfolded. Now we know the angel Gabriel is not a man, but angels can look like men. Just like in Abraham's time when he saw the angels coming to visit him, he saw three men. When the three angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah saw them as two men. So they can appear as men, but you know they're not men, especially when it says that the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. What man can fly? This is a reference to an angel being able to fly and come to a destination swiftly. So this is where they get the concept of angels having wings and having the ability to fly, because we know that the angel Gabriel, who Daniel saw to look like a man, was able to fly to him swiftly. And this is what happened when Gabriel flew to prophet Daniel swiftly. He said, he touched me about the time of the evening oblation. He informed me and talked with me and said, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. So we can see that Daniel the prophet was not really quite type the same prophet as Isaiah and Ezekiel and Moshe, he's getting answers not directly from Yah's mouth, but he's getting his answers from Yah in visions and dreams. And the Most High is sending his emissaries, the angels, out to give the prophet Daniel insight and understanding. He says, at the beginning of your supplication, to come in without, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. So when the Most High was paying attention to the actions of Daniel in this captivity and under Babylonian rule and under the Medes and Persians rule, and how they were giving him honor and prestige by making him like second in command, the Most High saw that Daniel, even though he was getting those accolades, his heart was still stayed on him. Daniel's heart was stayed on the Most High, which is why the Most High sent these angels, or the specific angel, Gabriel, to answer his burning question, his passion, because Daniel's passion was to love Yah and get up out of this captivity. He said, at the beginning of the supplications, the command went out, and I've come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Beloved by who? Greatly beloved by Yah. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks have been determined for your people upon your holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin and to make atonement for iniquity and to bring an everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy place. So this 24th verse is very important because the Most High works in multiples of seven. Seven is the divine number. 70 is a multiple of 7 times 10. So when Yah says 70 weeks, we don't know what that is. And we know that the 70 weeks have not been fulfilled because what he's saying here is after 70 weeks, what? Have been determined, your people and upon your holy city to finish the transgression. What transgression? The transgressions of our fathers and our transgressions, and to make an end of sins. Whose sins? The sins of the nations of Israel, for we have suffered in captivity and we have suffered our punishment, and to make atonement for iniquity, which is what we need. So people who are walking around talking about they holy, they righteous, no. There's an atonement that has to be made for the end of our sins and the finish of our transgressions. So what's that going to do? It says bring an everlasting righteousness. Once that's done, in the period of the 70 weeks that's up, according to Yah's time, then an everlasting righteousness will prevail in creation. And what's going to happen after that? And to seal up the vision and prophecy. So all this prophecy that's laid down by these prophets, it's going to be sealed up. It's going to be done. It's going to be recorded. It's going to be past. It's not going to be future. It's going to be past. And to anoint the most holy place. And what's the most holy place? That's the city of Jerusalem. That's the Temple Mount where Yah will dwell in the midst of his people. And they got to be an anointing. An anointing. Yes. The place has to be anointed. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem until the Prince Mashiach shall be 7 weeks. So they saying the Messiah is king. Here it says the Messiah is prince. So what level is the Messiah on? Yah is king, and the king of Israel in Yah's eyes is only a prince. And the prince to be anointed, that's all that means, because that prince is not going to be the savior. 7 weeks and 62 weeks, it shall be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of trouble. After 62 weeks, Mashiach shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the troops of the prince who shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So this happened in the past, but it's the seed of what's going to happen in the future. He said, the end of it shall come with the flood. Unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the offerings to cease, which has happened. So we're talking about past times. We're talking about present times, because the offerings have ceased. Sacrifices have ceased. He says, and on the wings of abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the decree. So everything has been desolate, offerings and sacrifices, the land is desolate, and then there's a time, that's 70 weeks, until the decree, destruction, is poured out on the desolator. So Yah has everything timed out. And we're looking at something that Daniel couldn't understand because we're living in the end times. And what would help us to study the prophecies like Daniel did, because we would have greater insight than him living in these times and breaking it down in great detail on marking off the things that Yah said would happen, that has happened. We can mark that off and know that we're in these end times, and these things that Yah is prophesying are for these times. So that's why we need to pay close attention to what instructions that Yah has given us so that we can achieve salvation.
Truth be told, brother, because as you said, a lot of this, a lot of that is convoluted with what is to come and what has already came. So it's convoluted. And you got decipher through prayer and with the Most High, through understanding what is going on. And even that being told, you still can't fully understand it because Daniel didn't fully understand it. I know it's confusing to some of you. If you think it's difficult, it is. But as I said, a lot of this things to come and the thing that has came is convoluted in the last part of that chapter. But as we study, things become much more clear, I assure you. Brother Maurice Cottrell, thank you, my brother and friend.
Yes, sir.
And you got me told, you right, Brother Yamsu. You worried about something, so it don't matter because it don't. You shot it right back at me, and it's true. It's true. I'm worried about the wrong thing. And listeners, if you're worried about the wrong thing, insignificant things, it doesn't matter because it doesn't mean anything. Focus much more on the Most High and the studies. Consult the books, not your contemporaries, your fellow Rip Van Winkles, because therein you won't find any solutions. Brother Maurice Cottrell, what's your closing remarks, my brother and friend?
My closing remark is that Daniel is showing the perfect pattern. He was under duress. He's in a foreign land. He's getting accolades because of his talent, skills, and ability, but he didn't let it go to his head. He always remained grounded. He always had a vision for the truth, what the future was, and he was able to draw the Most High close to him whenever he was in crisis in the midst of this captivity, which shows that Yah will be with us if our spirit is like Daniel. We're humble enough to really seek him with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our might, and he will give us the answers that we're looking for. So he's a perfect example of how we should be as a people, because it's in our DNA. We're just like Daniel. And just like Daniel, we can't just pray for ourselves. We have to pray for the overall welfare of our people.
Truth be told, my brother. Truth be told. Just because you got it and I got mine and you ain't got yours, I ain't worried about you. That's not an attitude to have in our nation. That works for other nations, but it works on our nation. It doesn't work for our nation. Thank you, Brother Maurice Cottrell. May the Most High bless you. Listeners.
May the Most High bless you all.
Thank you, brother. Listeners, you've been listening to Real Talk for Real People. Conversation and studies that are designed to get you closer to your Creator, to get you some understanding that your Creator can provide for you, that can get you closer to us as a nation, realizing that it's not about you, it's about us. And to get you to have the right frame of mind, that's a humble mind. When everything is sort of coming down on you, always try to keep a humble mind. And lean on the Most High and trust him in all your ways. And believe you me, you will get the answer. That being said, continue in our studies with us. Continue consulting the books so you can learn all you need to know about all you need to know about who you need to know it about, that I, Elohim. And our relationships with him, our relationship with each other, and our relationship with nations. That being said, I don't know where you're going. But you're finna get ready to get out of here. You've been listening to Real Talk for Real People. My name is Brother Yamsu Farid. Can I give you a piece of advice? Okay. Lean not to your own understanding. Why? Because your thinkers are broken. You just woke up. You're looking to each other for solution. There is no answer. You must consult the books as Daniel did, as we do, on the Real Talk for Real People show. Truth be told, ask for a new thinker, just like King David, your king. He knew his thinker was broken, and that's why he asked for a new one. I know my thinker is broken. That's why I ask for one every day. So I suggest you ask for a thinker, one that loves the Most High, most importantly, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and that's thirst after righteousness. Okay? Well, we love you. Shalom. Enjoy this song. Good night. Loving you.